show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Once again, we are coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me here tonight, once again, is the chairman of the board. And
we have a meeting slash party.
Mike McBath, yeah.
And we'll have some of our friends there, and should be good. This one is actually out at the Westgate, Sigel's place.
Last year when we went out there, the food was so great.
And it was outstanding, wasn't it?
But it wasn't Westgate food.
No, it wasn't. Fred Stokes, who played with the Redskins and an excellent NFL player for, I think, 10, 11 years, Fred provided, he is involved with a meat company, and he provided the, remember how good the brisket was? Oh my God, it was delicious.
The spread was great.
But the spread was outstanding.
I think Westgate did provide the desserts, but he did everything else, and boy, was it good.
Oh, I know. So we'll be looking forward to the meeting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, I hope you folks are looking forward to the show. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. We're going to be talking a little bit of taxes here in a few minutes, not the good type of talk on taxes.
The wrong type. Oh, at this period of time, none of us would be happy with this story.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, Monday, because of the holiday Friday in Washington, D.C., Emancipation Day, Monday is actually now the filing deadline day. So you have one more weekend to get those tax returns wrapped up and in, or file an extension, of course, which doesn't get you out of having to pay what you owe them, just out of having to file the form for 6 months. But if you would like a little relief, you may be able to get it in the form of a tax day bonus sweepstakes winning, which would be
four big ones.
That's right. 4,000 smackaroos. Yeah. It might not get you a speech by Hillary Clinton, but hey, you can still do a lot of things with $4,000.
I know. You get about a half a minute of those speech from Hillary for her price, right?
You get more time with one of Bill's girls for that type of money, right? If you know what I mean. But to do that, you have to go to, and you can do this once a day between now and Friday, go to am660theanswer.com, or if you've already downloaded the app into your smart device, you can do it through your smart device. You can't do both, but you can do one or the other once a day, every day, until the 15th. And if you haven't downloaded that app, please do so by going to am660theanswer.com or go to your app store and search for WORL-FM-AM app. And you'll also be able to participate in daily polls. Then you never know what we're going to ask, right?
And last night we had some great questions.
We had a question about Peyton Manning last night, and Nick's got one ready for us tonight. Nick, what's the question, and where do we stand?
All right. Well, there was some news today about how Orlando could soon become the next Florida city to decriminalize small amounts of marijuana.
I thought Mike would love this.
Yeah, I've really been thrilled about that. Make sure you put me down. I do not want it decriminalized.
So, if you have less than 20 grams in your possession, it'll be just a citation rather than be arrested.
Well, it'll actually be left up to the police officer.
Oh, will it? Is that yes. What they're discussing?
Yeah, it would give the police officer discretion.
So you better have a good attitude when you're talking with the officer, if you know what you're talking about at the point of smoking it, right?
Exactly. Okay.
Well, so basically our question is, do you think this is a good idea? Yes or no? Right now, the no's have it at 60%.
Wow, 60-40. Okay, so you'll have a chance to chime in. You can only do that, though, if you have the app in your smart device, and you can do that during the show, get that downloaded.
We should send our answer off to the paper, because I think no is going to win big time.
Probably so.
I mean, how many people do you really believe that smoking marijuana helps versus the number it actually kills, in all seriousness? Come on. This is just a money-making proposition. That's all it is. Well, and it's nothing more than that. We don't need two evils when we have one, which is liquor. Yeah. So we don't need to put two evils out there.
Yeah, well, sort of the dirty little secret is police have already been sort of using this discretion for a while.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's today's poll question, and we'll have the final results before we go off the air tonight. We'll give you a couple of updates along the way. Another excellent poll question. All right. as I said, we're going to talk a little bit about taxes tonight. Peabody Coal, and I talked about this a little bit on the show a while back because a number of other smaller companies, coal companies, have already filed for
Archer Coal, right?
Archer Midland, I believe, and some other coal companies have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Some of them on their way to Chapter 7 liquidation. Today we got the big dog.
Well, this was promise kept by Obama. He said he'd destroy the coal industry, and he's really done a pretty good job at it, which is really frightening. Ask all the workers in Appalachia and all those areas, western Pennsylvania, what they think of this. And remember, this was founded in 1883.
Peabody Coal.
Right. And it's probably the world's largest.
The world's largest and oldest coal company.
And there really is great opportunity, actually, for the use of coal worldwide. And this is just this phony, you know, our green environment and all that. Well, we all know environment's important, but we all know that with the coal and natural gas and everything that's out there, that we have the capability of keeping energy prices extremely low, which will benefit our industries, which will benefit our workers, and it'll also take care of our poor. But guess who just destroyed it? The little Brockster.
He sure did.
The Brockster. He's the man.
And as you say, it's cost a lot of people their jobs.
It's so sad.
And the only reason that it hasn't cost us dearly in energy costs, because remember, that was also part of his, at least his forecast as to what would happen when he destroyed the coal industry. Well, we would naturally have a spike in energy costs. Well, the only reason that hasn't happened is because of the fracking.
And natural gas from fracking.
Right, which Bernie Sanders, of course, and Hillary.
He's against, they're against.
They want to put an end to it, right? And because of that, natural gas is trading at just barely above $2, what they call a billion cubic feet, BCF.
I mean, this really is a golden age for America in the sense that, you know, we have
energy.
All this. Yeah, energy. We're going to hit all-time highs. We can export it. We can work on our balance of budget. There's so many things we can do. And we got this guy who is a living nightmare sitting up there who I don't know what he does. I can't figure it out.
But see, here's the worry. Okay. Basically, energy, we should be checking off all of the above.
Right.
In other words, we should be using all of our resources.
Everything.
That's right. And if you want to include solar and wind, perhaps there are places where that is actually practical. If that is so, yes. It is not working out in California. The world's largest solar plant in California, Ivanpah, is facing huge fines from the state because they can't keep the doggone thing running. And by the way, they have to use natural gas to start it up and then natural gas to back it up.
Right.
Right?
So, I mean, that's why, as you said, Chris,
but guess
it
what?
Doesn't work yet.
But because of the way they have designed the laws in California, they can't have natural gas-fired power plants there, so they have to go out of state to get that electricity, except at Ivanpah, it does have its own natural gas generator because it has to have it to work. So a so-called green energy plant relies on natural gas, a dirty old fossil fuel, or it can't work. That's how, you know, but anyway, back to my point. It should be all of the above. And here's the danger that we face right now with our energy industry. We're kind of... We're enjoying what I'll call inertia. In other words, our energy industry ramped way up over the last few years, right? In spite of Obama, because this was done on private lands by private companies, had nothing to do with the government. The private industry was taking care of business, right?
That's exactly
and,
right.
And so they ramped all up, and then, of course, the price of oil began to fall dramatically. The other countries, like Saudi Arabia, didn't like the idea that we were beginning to ace them out, not only of this market here, but markets elsewhere around the world. They didn't like that at all. So they have done everything that they can to put our oil and gas companies out of business, and now they are shutting down wells, and many of them are facing bankruptcy. Now, we've been enjoying the fruits of their labor. When they shut down, we will no longer be able to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And that their $2 natural gas price and, what, $2 a gallon of gas price may just change right quick.
Right. I mean, even when we saw here recently, oil hit, I think it's $42 and change, up from 26 just, you know what, 5-6 weeks ago. And not that whether it'll stay here, we'll see. But, I mean, we have done a great job, in essence, damaging Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia, because of their inability to extract the returns they have, imagine how they have to pay their people off the money that comes in from the revenues. Do you think that's going to cause a possible disheaval?
Well, and this is a little something that we were talking about sort of around the edge with Robert Spencer last night.
That's exactly
right. That monarchy over there is not all that secure of a monarchy. As a matter of fact, they basically buy their legitimacy.
Right, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're losing their cash flow.
These princes, I forget, it's at least once a year, maybe more often than that, they basically have to go out into the villages, and they set up this real elaborate tent and everything, and all the villagers come in and plead why they need this or that, and the prince, it's up to him to come up with this or that, and, you know, money.
Yeah.
And that's how they get their legitimacy. And when the tap runs out, they lose their legitimacy. You see? So, yeah, all of this plays in together. That's why we need healthy energy sectors, really, the world over.
And the other thing, Chris, is SunEdison, one of your major players in solar
energy.
Right. The problem with that is we're subsidizing that. We know it's going to take years to make it a viable product.
It'll never be.
And it's costing the taxpayer substantially. Where these companies are private owned without the government, except for the government trying to destroy them through overregulation.
Right.
Does any of this make sense?
Well, and of course, then they bring in what they would have us believe is the moral argument of coal is destroying the planet, which is actually absurd.
Well, to say that to China. I mean, how are you going to stop? That's why I'm amused by this. Until China and all these countries, India and everything, stop using coal at a massive level. Forget it. Don't worry about your green.
Well, coal can be a clean, burning energy. We have proven it right here in this city. Well, Orlando. We're in Altamont Springs, but the greater Orlando area with the Curtis Stanton Power Plant down on the southeast side of town down there. Right?
Right.
Now,
that's correct.
When they burn coal out of that place, I defy you to go down there and find smoke coming out of anywhere down there. What you will see coming out of the cooling towers is steam.
Right.
Water vapor. So it's just a total hypocrisy, total hysteria, and a total, abrogation of the public responsibility of our officials to look out for us and our future. That what they are doing is they are jeopardizing us and our future with all of this nonsense.
Right. I mean, again, these are private companies, shareholder invested, and then here we have all these ones like SunEdison and stuff, subsidized with investment credits, everything else. All they are is a funnel of money back to the Democratic Party.
And while they're going to get
good.
While
good.
SunEdison is get subsidized, oil and natural gas companies and the banks that lend to them are facing extra scrutiny. Because they don't believe in global warming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make it harder to lend them money. We're going to put more pressure on them financially and regulatory speaking and put them out of business, too, while we're at it.
Yeah, the Obama administration has notified the attorney generals in every state. You can start proceeding against these energy companies and say that they deceived the public into believing that there really wasn't global warming. Can you imagine that? And they're going to try to actually prosecute these companies and take money out of their shareholder pockets. I mean, this is Gestapo tactics. Good.
And people wonder why when a guy like Trump comes along,
Trump,
people don't understand why he's attractive.
Right.
You see, he is in the face of all this nonsense, right?
Right.
And okay. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Hillary's plan to revive, let's just say, make America great again.
You think that'll cost more? I think so.
About $1 trillion more. We'll tell you about that on the other side. Don't have to worry about dropping them off.
That's right. That was great.
Welcome back to the show, folks. So you are welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Tomorrow night's going to be contest night. And Mike's come up with another one, another contest. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think when we all think we're getting close to figuring out who will be the vice presidential nominees for all these people running, right? Hillary's going to need one. Bernie's going to need one. Cruz, Trump. So what the contest is, we want you to name the vice presidential nominee for pick one or two of them and then tell us why you chose this person. And an example, we always give examples here. I'm going to have Bernie, right? I'm going to have his vice president be, right now it looks to me like it's going to be El Chapo. Now, why would it be El Chapo?
Get him out of jail.
Right. He was the Mexico's greatest drug dealer. Most of Bernie's people look like they're just stoned, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is if Bernie can get him out of jail, he can make him his vice president, keep everybody stoned, and he'll have a great chance of winning it. Now, that's on the Democratic side.
Okay.
Well, my other one's also on the Democratic side.
Okay, you got
it.
Hillary.
Yeah. And I think a perfect matchup for her, and I think our audience would agree with this, would be Eric Holder. He would be terrific, right? Here is a guy who is corrupt, he's a racist, and he's a consummate liar. Is this not Hillary's profile?
And he could probably call in a few favors.
I know.
At the Justice Department.
Can you, and is he from Chicago, too? I think he is, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
But I mean, this is two matchups I think would be rather unique. But we'll leave it to our audience to come up with their vice presidents because we're going to have some nice prizes tomorrow.
All right.
So it should be fun.
And it can be a vice presidential pick for any of the candidates or two of them, okay?
That's right.
All right, so that'll be tomorrow night. Now, speaking of Chicago, the other news that came out just today is a report that came out of Chi-Raq. And, of course, Chi-Raq is the name of the movie that Spike Lee made about Chicago and the high murder rate in Chicago, black-on-black murder rate in particular. And, by the way, did you notice how that movie never really got much attention or traction?
Oh, it's probably because it was done by Spike Lee. I don't know if it's...
No, I think it was not necessarily because it was done by Spike Lee,
right,
but because it depicted Chi-Raq.
Right. Chicago in a bad way.
Right.
Right.
And black-on-black crime in a realistic sense. What the man was trying to do was do a little something about it. Maybe this report today could have taken a little advice from the man.
I mean, this is really pretty disgusting. I think the irony of this report is last week there was a report that came out on Chicago, and it's sadly amusing. They had over 800 shootings in Chicago in the first 3 months of the year. 800, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this on April 4th, they had actually 7 shootings and 1 murder. They pointed out so far this year, they've had 133 murders. Last year, they had, it was 77 in the same time period.
Same period, right.
And that's up 91%. Now, what happened, as we all know, because the mayor's under major heat, Ron Emanuel, who's a big, big Democrat, big Obama fan.
Right.
Well, he had his mayoral panel do a study on this. And I guess we all could really – I could have guessed the results before.
Oh, yeah.
I could have saved you millions of dollars.
Well, let's
just
say they had the results before they even started
the
study.
You got it. They had the results, and they had to figure out how to fit it in.
Right.
And the task force came out the day, and they said that the Chicago Police Department has been plagued by racism. What a surprise, Chris. I can't believe that was the result.
It was a surprise conclusion.
Ron Emanuel, the Democratic Party, all those people elected for decades after decades, all the blacks who haven't taken personal responsibility of what goes on in their neighborhoods, none of these people were at fault. It's the Chicago police. Wow. I was just shocked.
I've got a solution. Let's just take the Chicago police off the streets.
See how it goes.
In the black neighborhoods, and there will be no more crime or murders, will there be?
There'll be nothing left is what it's going to be.
After a period, there will be no more crime and murders because they'll all have killed each other, and there'll be one strong man left over.
Is that embarrassing? You know, they would come out and blame the police after know what's going on?
It's not surprising.
Oh.
It's not at all surprising, and of course, that's just going to poison the water even more in the hood between the police.
That's really going to poison the water.
And it's going to do nothing at all to solve the problem. if anything, it's like I said, it's going to poison the waters and make the situation worse and even more difficult to remedy.
Well, Chris, you were actually speaking this Saturday, right, at an event
the
for...
The Wounded Officers
That's
Initiative.
Right. You're the MC.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even people like that, the ramifications of such a fraudulent report as this goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Goes everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
And people wonder why, when a guy like Trump comes along, people are attracted to him.
Yeah, do you think he would have written a report that it was the police's fault when there was 800 people shot in the first 3 months?
So.
I don't think so either.
I hardly think so.
And we're going to address our friend Black Lives Matter right after the break.
Yeah, and we'll tell you about Hillary's gun tax plan she has installed for us all, too, right? Okay, you're listening to the American Adversaries. We'll also tell you about that event where I will be the MC this weekend because you are invited. And it's to benefit the Wounded Officers Initiative. I hope you can join us. It'll be over here at the Shriners Auditorium in Maitland. To the Republican side of the aisle here in a few minutes. But before we do that, Hillary Clinton has admitted that her tax plan would cost $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I mean, imagine the American people, like the big conference we had last Thursday night over at the Hill.
With the Job Creators Network.
What was the biggest, number one, was over-taxation of these small companies.
And then over-regulation.
And the other thing, when Hillary comes out and gives this explanation of how she's going to pay for it, do you ever believe some of these most ridiculous ideas would ever be approved by Congress unless it were Democratic dominated?
Well, one of her ideas is a 25% gun tax.
That'll go over real
now,
big.
Of course,
real big.
This is on top of her idea of making gun manufacturers liable if one of their weapons is used in the commission of a crime. Right?
She's doing a good job. Talking, Hillary.
Would, of course, put them all out of business.
Right.
But let's just think about this gun tax, now for just a moment. Because first, it starts out as a gun tax on guns that you buy brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, then we know that it's eventually going to become a gun tax on any gun that you own, and probably a yearly tax at that. Which, of course, means that all of your guns have to be
registered
with the government, so that they can apply and collect the proper tax. Now, it'll have nothing to do, of course,
with knowing where they are,
with
right?
With the Second Amendment or anything. It'll be kind of like Obamacare, right? Mm-hmm. It'll be a tax.
We're helping you.
Yes, exactly. It'll be a tax, and everybody, all they have to do, if you want to be with, you know, compliance with the law, is just register your guns and pay the tax. What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're all for gun safety. You see, that's their idea of a solution, of course, which is big government, big taxes, and brother.
The actual number of taxes that she put forth to cover that trillion was 18 different tax increases.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I'm sure part to small business, I'm sure. This is just ludicrous as much as this economy is struggling.
Yeah, I guess I misstated it. Her tax plan is going to have to pay the $1 trillion for her budget spending.
To cover her spending.
Correct. And so the plan includes all kinds of, as Mike said, new taxes and increases on other
One
taxes.
One good question I heard ask her, which should be relevant to every congressman. Okay, Hillary goes, well, we're going to spend, you know, hundreds of billions on infrastructure. Well, who was going to monitor this? Will you be able to actually report to me and tell me how much went into cement and how much went into steel and how much? Well, we really don't have people. That's the problem. I mean, imagine the money we lost over in Iraq that's just unaccountable for. Couldn't you have assigned it to a accounting firm or somebody and just say, I want every dollar traced. You pay them $300,000. You don't lose your $500 million. How stupid are these people that we elect?
Well, maybe it's not that they're stupid.
Or maybe it's going in their pocket. We don't know.
I was going to say, much transparency.
Yeah, maybe I'm really naive.
You can't dip into the till.
You got it. I mean, you know.
It's all about being able to get your hands on some of that. And if everybody knows where it all is, it makes it harder to do that sort of thing, right? And by the way, speaking of taxes, the federal government announced that this year, Let me see. I wrote down the numbers here. For the first half of fiscal 2016, which starts in October, the government took in, and this is a record, $1.48 trillion. That's $1,480 billion.
That would be an all-time record. I mean, all-time.
It is. So it's on pace for the year's haul to be somewhere pretty close to $3 trillion, which would be a huge, it would be another record take for the federal government. Now, of course, the problem is we took in $1.48 trillion, and unfortunately, we spent $1.94 trillion.
And again, think of like just food stamps. We have over 91 billion, whatever they're spending on food stamps, yet the unemployment rates dropped from 10% to 5%.
Well, that's because...
And it went reverse.
Well, because people are simply dropping out of the job force, not getting jobs.
It's not supposed to work that way because Mr. Obama's done such a fine job with our economy.
Right. So the deficit, which the president and others who were claiming was going down, and when I say others, I mean by that members of Congress and other radio talk show hosts who will remain unmentioned but come on right before us on these same channels.
Mm-hmm.
We're bragging about how the sequester was bringing down the budget deficit and all of that. Well, $1.48 trillion for 6 months we took in. We have a deficit after budget deficit after 6 months of $461 billion. So if we double that for a year, we've got over $900 billion in deficit spending again this year.
And do you know that our balance of trade deficit is $500 billion? Now, do you think Trump might be right about keeping every $500 billion? That's
another $900 billion in overspending that we were told was being gotten under control, not just by Obama, but by St. Pauli Girl and Mitch the Poodle Boy and all these others.
They've done zero.
They have zero. Left us worse off. $900 billion? Just for this year, okay, right?
And of course,
we're already closing in on 20 trillion. So that's basically going to be 21 trillion now next year. You know, we cannot keep this up.
And isn't it amazing these congressmen and even the presidential candidates don't talk about this deficit because they're afraid they're going to be held accountable for it too when they get in office?
This
is going to destroy the country.
I wouldn't want to talk much about it either. And once again, and people wonder why, when a guy like Trump comes along, and these are the circumstances that we are existing within, they wonder why, you know, people are falling for him. Well, this is why.
Falling for him. We're trying to survive as a nation.
You just said it, brother. And that's the whole point here, you see. And once again, this goes by, and we've been saying this on the show for a long time, that Trump's real appeal is that a lot of people, his followers, his supporters, think that he can make the changes and that he's pretty much the only one willing or capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of truth in both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, there'll be a lot of forces, just like what we're witnessing now in the primary, and then if he were to get the nomination, we would witness it again in the general election. All kinds of forces being arrayed against him. Strange bedfellows.
Mm-hmm.
Like here you got Marco Rubio now and Ted Cruz. You talking about strange bedfellows?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You remember they were just totally at odds, calling each other liar. You remember who called Cruz liar first?
Yes, I do.
By the name of Marco Rubio. And oh, by the way, and Heidi has chimed in on this now too, talking about
I heard her last
Trump
night.
And Trump and his henchmen and all that. Okay, with this marriage and infidelity stuff. Those stories came from a feller by the name of Marco Rubio, more commonly known around these parts as Lil Marco. Started about 6 or 8 months ago. And oh, by the way,
he could be his vice president, though.
There were same kind of rumors about him. Okay? So we have been getting so distracted with this hysteria over Trump that we have totally lost sight of the ball. And the ball that we need to be clobbering is liberalism and its representatives, which are now, for the most part, Hillary Rotten Clinton and Bernie the Lunatic Sanders. Right? And here we are. And this is what gets me about run-of-the-mill politicians. Today on Michael Medved, as he has done repeatedly since this campaign started, Ted Cruz says, and I wrote this down, so it's very close, if not an exact quote, "I have consistently endeavored to not respond in kind and stay out of the gutter." When being, you know, he was being asked about how are you going to reunify the party? How are you going to bring the party back together? Mm-hmm. He has consistently endeavored to not respond in kind and stay out of the gutter. Well, he's not been doing a very good job of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, which candidate
said
again?
Just this morning, the headline was how Mr. Cruz was comparing Donald Trump to Don Corleone and doing business with mobsters. And, of course, he's the con artist. And then there's the Kardashian candidate business. Now, I don't care if he wants to use those characterizations of Donald Trump. But don't sit there and tell me that you're consistently endeavoring not to do that sort of thing. Because either you are a liar or incompetent of controlling yourself.
Yeah,
that... Okay? I consider the things that he's been saying about Trump to be in-kind responses to Trump and right down in the gutter with him.
Plus, I don't really
now, maybe
like
that's
that,
me.
Yeah, that
I'm a Georgia boy from raised in Orlando, where we used to have things called manners and etiquette and being polite and meaning what you say.
Yeah, that Don Corleone, I think that would be more applicable to Hillary, don't you, than the Don?
That's my whole point!
No, what is he doing?
Why is he wasting his ammunition on Donald John Trump? The real object of the battle here is Hillary. And Bernie and these idiots who want to saddle us with another $1 trillion of debt on top of what we already got year after year after year. Mr. Cruz, if you are so smart and so big, you need to change the focus of your attacks, sir.
No,
and the same goes for Trump. The same.
No, I think they got to take on the major problems head up. At least Trump tries a little bit. You know, I mean, he's talking about immigration, which we know where we stand on that.
And I'll say this.
He's referenced, you know, the military. We're agreeable on that.
And he's going after Hillary.
And I do believe he can control spending because as a businessman who's running a major, major corporation, he's going to know how to segment divisions and, you know, make him accountable. I believe, honestly, he's the only one out there who can do it. I know this sounds terrible, but I'm sorry. He's the only one I think can do it.
If he's not the only one that can do it, he would be a tremendous help in getting
That's
it
what I'm
done.
Saying, getting the and getting the right personnel.
You see, this is what gets me sometimes about politics when we get so involved with our guy that nobody else can do it, you see?
I agree.
Now, when I talk to people who support Trump, and they think that should Cruz get the nomination, they're okay with that. When I talk to Cruz people who think Trump's going to get the nomination, they are not okay with that.
You know, Chris,
now, you see, that's what I call losing sight of the ball. That's what I call cutting off your nose to spite your face.
And I think, I think Cruz inbreeds that into his people, his followers, in the sense that I'm like you. If Trump doesn't make it, I could probably go with Cruz. But just what you said, I think I saw somewhere 25% of the Cruz's people said, hey, we're not going to vote for Trump if it's not Cruz.
And
what
this.
A way to defeat yourself. And the goal of us all is to get rid of these people that destroyed the country.
This is how bad it's gotten. I've been texting with Carl Jackson over this, and he told me that polls also show that should Cruz team up with Trump, a lot of his supporters wouldn't go with him. I mean, see, that's
well,
idiocy.
He's over-brainwashed him.
That is idiocy.
Yeah, that is really idiocy.
And
you're
who has
kidding.
Brought it on, though? These two candidates,
yeah.
Right?
Not good at all.
No, it ain't good at all.
But I do think the Democratic Party is going to be plagued by the same thing, because I believe that Hillary, no way will she carry 25, 30, 40% of these kids.
Yeah, but see, the problem is every day that goes by, in my opinion, is a lost opportunity
to
make
bring us
our
together.
Case against liberalism, because we're making our case against Donald Trump.
Right.
Okay, it's not even about a fight within the Republican Party. It's all about Donald Trump. You see? And even the people are losing sight of that, because this whole thing is really not about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the representative of a wave of discontent.
And the wave's getting bigger.
And it's going to get bigger, too.
You wait. Right? As we head further down the pike, I think he's going to gain gigantic momentum.
Well, all right. Let's see. We got some phone calls. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go right to the phone lines, because I don't want to cut anybody short. Don't forget, you're listening to The American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. Let's get our eye on the ball here, guys. Oh, Nick, you did that on purpose, didn't you?
Gotta calm you down.
This is Love's Theme there by Barry White.
Oh, I like that. This is great, I know. Darling, I...
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. 407-774-8255 is the number. Dr. K has me taking deep breaths here. By the way, you'll love this, Mike. Dr. K just sent me this text. This is having to do with our poll question for today, which is, what was that poll question again, Nick? I don't want to misrepresent it here. Nick, okay. All right, he's busy.
Yeah, we were talking about the proposed changes to the marijuana policy in Orlando.
Marijuana enforcement. Are you for it or against it, basically?
Yeah, that's basically the answer.
This would allow police officers have the discretion to basically issue a ticket to someone who is possessing 20 grams or less of marijuana, which I believe is the cutoff that they use today for what they call a misdemeanor. In other words, up to 20 grams is considered a misdemeanor. Over that, it's a felony. Anyway, he says, this is from Dr. K, John Morgan and his law. You ever heard of that guy? John Morgan and his law firm are the ones pushing this new lenience into marijuana laws. Surprise, surprise, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's
Very
go,
kind.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Adam is up first. Adam, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to start with, Donald Trump, I feel, is at the center of all this distraction of talking about anything except policy.
Yeah.
I feel from the beginning, Cruz has consistently said for like a year now, even whenever he was doing the Senate, that when people attack him, he's not going to respond in kind. And I still feel that he hasn't, even though he has made some remarks about, Donald Trump whining and everything. But it really doesn't go any deeper than that.
Well, I don't know, when you call a guy a mobster to say he's doing business with mobsters and has no evidence, real quick, he has no evidence to present to prove that there was any knowing relationship between Trump and the mobsters. When he accuses him of starting these stories about his infidelity, when everybody knows it was Marco Rubio who started these stories about the infidelity, and that the Inquirer knew about them for some time because of that. When he calls him the Kardashian candidate, basically my problem is he's wasting time. Okay, now he may talk about Hillary, but you don't hear about it unless you are witnessing that particular event. You see, the news these men should both be making should not be in criticisms of one another. The news that they should be making is in their criticisms of Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Barack Obama, et al. And every day, to me, is a wasted opportunity. Wasted.
Yeah,
and at some point, he needs to come to terms with the fact that Donald Trump is representing millions of people that he is going to need. And regardless of what he thinks he's doing, he is not rallying them to his side. He is alienating them. He may be rallying other people to his side, but he is alienating them in the process. Bad politics, right, if you ask me.
Hey, yeah, Adam, ever watched him do a, on TV when they show him at his functions, meaning Trump? He does, though, get across his four or five points all the time. Immigration, jobs, military, trade. I goes, I watch him all the time just to see, and he always gets it out, no matter how much he goes after whoever he wants to chastise. But boy, he still gets those 3 or 4 or 5 points out all the time. So, which is good, but you got to stop this infighting,
Adam.
I feel Donald really mastered is in the media. Well, and he was using his insults and his personal attacks and saying the most outrageous things so he could get all the media, because he knew every single media station would cover him. But I just want to add one more point.
Sure.
And that is, I'm also a part of that Never Trump movement who would never vote for Trump, and I'll tell you why. And actually, I'll pose the question. The same question concerned to you guys, and that is, what has Donald Trump done to prove not only that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, but what has he done to prove that he can earn your trust? His background is very liberal, and his donations very liberal, and then all of a sudden...
I will answer the question this way. What have these other characters done to prove that they deserve my trust? They have done everything that they can to violate my trust. Now, I said, if Trump doesn't get it, I'd be fine with voting for Cruz. All right? But my dream ticket is the two of these guys to work together, because I believe that together they would not only be powerful in terms of winning elections, but be powerful in terms of governing. You know, it's only going to be half the problem is getting elected. The real problem is then how are you going to get these policies implemented? And as far as being a Never Trump guy goes, that's, your, of course, your prerogative. But, of course, using the same logic that that Cruz and Rubio and Kasich and others have been using, and that is that if you're going to do that, then you're, in essence, voting for Hillary. So if you're comfortable with that, I'm good with it, too. So,
well, the other thing is, I also don't think Donald... I mean, all the polls show Donald, he gets really beat bad by Hillary, and I really think that is what would happen.
No, psychological war.
No, that's in part. But as a matter of fact, the polls are tightening. Some polls show him actually, both Cruz and him, beating her. By the way, the polls for Ronald Reagan were even more dismal going into the convention.
At this stage, you're right.
That's right. And, of course, he was being leveled many of the same criticisms as Donald Trump. And
if I could just make just one more point.
Okay. And then I got to go because it's coming up on a break.
Of course, yeah, real quick. So this is just why, this is what Cruz has done to earn our trust. One, as Solicitor General, he fought for the Second Amendment rights, and he fought for religious liberty, the Pledge of Allegiance.
He fought
against Obama, the filibuster. He was the only one standing up. He called for a vote in the Senate, made everyone publicly vote. His track record is very conservative, and he's done exactly what he said he was going to do the entire time.
Well, basically what he has done is make a good case for why he should be president, but he didn't really accomplish anything in the Senate. Yeah, he stood up and he shut the government down for a month, but he didn't accomplish anything. And accomplishments come from working with people, not at odds with them. And as far as Donald Trump, he's done many things in the private sector that he's been very successful in business. He's been a philanthropist.
Philanthropic.
Yeah. And it's a different world. And that's why I think together these guys would be a dynamic duo. If we get Ted Cruz, we're going to get same old in Washington, D.C., and we're all going to be looking at one another going, why are we getting same old? We elected Ted Cruz. Well, he's only part of the solution. A part, but only part. Okay? We are the rest of it. Thanks, Adam. We appreciate it. All right, Tim, if you'll stay with us, we'll get you on the other side of this break.
Ladies and gentlemen, step it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road. We'll be right back.
that little shout that Steve Tyler gives us in that intro tune.
Right.
That's what I feel like doing every morning when I get up and I turn on the television, and all the headline stories are about how Cruz is going after Trump, and Trump's going after Cruz, and Kasich's going after both of them. And Hillary Clinton's just skating in the park, having a wonderful time.
I think I'd rather
CP time.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have a shot of vodka. I don't know.
Oh, Lord,
to each their own.
Mercy on us. Well,
right.
Oh my goodness.
But I know it is frustrating when you look at these people battle back and forth against each other when we know what the true cause is, right? To take Hillary out of office.
Take her out.
Or never put her in office.
All right. 407-774-8255 is the number as you listen to us. Thank you for tuning in, by the way, to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. We're now joined in studio by the executive director of the Legal Immigrants for America, and that is Steve Gushoff. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, Chris. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. And also with us is, wait a minute, try that again. Okay, all right. We also have Wes, I'm sorry.
Wes Rose.
Wes Rose. I was going to say Rhodes, but it's Wes Rose with us as well tonight.
A rose by any other name.
Yeah, it smells but the same. All right. Okay, and of course, you can be a part of the show, too. And don't forget, you can also participate in our daily poll question and register for the Tax Day Bonus Sweepstakes. You only got four more days because Friday is the deadline. Somebody's going to be chosen to win $4,000. There's two ways you can register.
Well, under Hillary, you're going to have to give $2,000 of that back.
No.
You mean $3,000.
I was going to say three or more, right?
Yeah.
And if it's Bernie, it'll be 90%, right? All right. You can do it two ways. Go to am660theanswer.com or download and unless you've already downloaded the free AM660 Answer app. Duh, couldn't get that word out for a second. All right, now, and today's poll question has to do with what several cities and townships, communities in Florida have already done. Orlando is considering giving the OPD the option to issue citations rather than arrest someone for small amounts of marijuana. And we're asking
Chris, this city is just going to pot. That's all I have to say.
I was waiting for somebody to say that.
But we're in the weeds here in Orlando.
We're in the weeds. We're going up in smoke, right? All right, so Nick LoCicero, where do we stand in our poll question today?
Right now, we are at 70-30. This is a bad idea.
All right, so that's up
from
60-40.
I told you it's going to win, that we don't want it. And, my words.
That's being pushed around the state by John Morgan and his allies. All right. Tim has been patiently waiting on the line. Tim, thank you for calling and waiting through the break. We really appreciate that.
Oh, hey.
Howdy, howdy.
I wanted to make a prediction on the convention, but, you know, it's funny. Cigarettes are bad, and pot smoking's good. You know, it's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Well, you know, I was listening actually to Dennis Prager talking about that very thing today. Of course, you know, Dennis Prager likes to smoke cigars.
Right.
And they are the bane of, you know, you can't have cigarette smoke or cigar smoke, but reefer smoke don't seem to be so bad, right?
Yeah.
Smelling sweet.
I got to tell you, after your show, I usually watch Newsmax TV, you know, and I watch Steve Malzberg's program.
Yes.
He's really good, okay? So he'll take live phone calls, and this happened last Thursday, I swear to God. He takes a call from a guy in California, and these are live, you know, on-the-air calls, and the guy in California goes, yeah, well, finally our primary is going to look like it means something for a change, you know? So Malzberg says, well, who are you going to be voting for? And he says, well, I'm going to be voting for Trump. He said, because my wife and kids think that other guy looks like a vampire.
Oh, gee.
So, well, you know, I thought, gee, I told Chris that 3 months ago.
Well, you're right. And I've heard other similar characterizations in other media sources as well.
Well, let me tell that young kid that just called. He sounded like he was like 18 or so. What I would tell you is the guy you vote for today, and you go look back in 15 years and say, I can't believe I voted for that guy. I mean, you look back 20 years from now and say, God, I can't believe I voted for Nixon, you know, or whoever.
Yeah.
I just like to say quickly, correct you, you're correct about that. Who's this name calling? The first guy that Cruz started smearing was Huckabee, if you look it up. Huckabee was the first one to criticize him. And then in Wisconsin, Kasich, who's Mr., you know, take the high road, you know, phony guy, he said, I'm not going to insult anybody, blah, blah, blah. Then he says at his town hall in Wisconsin, he says, oh, Ted Cruz is a smear artist. He smeared Ben Carson, he smeared Trump, and now he's smearing me. That's coming from Kasich. Yeah. And if you look at all the characters around Cruz, he's up to his ears in sleazy characters. And you pointed out the campaign manager's got a rep, you know.
Yeah.
You got Charles Foster, you got the Mercer hedge fund, you got all of these guys. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how many delegates this guy's got, but, you know, and able to buy or steal or whatever. And oh, yeah, the infidelity thing, which I think is going to be big. You mark my words on that. So anyway, so Cruz can, you know, he can steal all the delegates he wants or whatever. I don't think he's likable, and I don't think he's electable. But if he gets to the convention with 850 delegates and Trump's got 1,100 and Trump doesn't, you know, then they steal it from him through maneuvering and parliamentary maneuvering. My prediction is very simple. Trump's going to make a business decision. A business decision just to go third party. I mean, there's no question. I think he's going to go third party. And remember when Ross Perot did that? Okay. Ross Perot did it for tens of millions of dollars in government contracts to his EDP computer outfit,
yeah,
which he got.
Yeah.
And
well,
and he did that when he ran again. He got, now, Trump will do it, he'll actually form a political organization. And when he forms it, he'll start taking out some of these guys. And whether he has to have, you know, go with the Democrat to take out the Republican, he targets, say, Paul Rhino up there in Wisconsin, you know. He's finally got a guy to run against him this time, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and he'll target those guys. And all Trump has to do is take out one of these guys with his third party, and they will all be so terrified, they'll say to him, where do you want to build those buildings, Donald?
I hear you.
I'll give you those contracts. Yeah, they're on their way.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate
okay,
the call. Thanks for that. And thanks for that. I want to get your thoughts on that, Steve. But my only thought is that he talks about Trump making a business decision. I think his business decision would be, I could not win as a third party. Might take out some few people, but he would want to be a winner, and it would cost too much money.
I see. I actually disagree. I think he could win a three-way race very easily, and I'll tell you why. You know, a lot of people like to look at 1992 and Ross Perot. Donald Trump is no Ross Perot. Perot was in that race and was leading in certain polls. Then, remember, he got out of the race. He kind of pulled a Nutty, basically, out of the race.
Because somebody was threatening
his daughter's wedding or something stupid like that. And then he got back in September, October, and then even then he got 19%. He could have won that race against Bush and Clinton, possibly, if he'd stayed in and acted like a normal candidate. Here's the thing. If the Republicans sandbag Trump, and Cruz supporters need to understand this, they're not giving it to Cruz. I mean, they hate Cruz, the Republican establishment, almost as much as they hate Trump.
Right.
If they don't want to give it to Trump, they're not going to give it to Cruz either. They'll give it, again, to Ryan, to Romney. Romney's begging to get asked to get back in. He'll take it in 3 seconds if they give it to him. So let's say you have a three-way race between Trump, Hillary, and Ryan or Romney. Trump, to me, wins that race because you only got to get 35% to 40%, you know, to win, to get a plurality and something like that. Hillary is very unpopular. Any Republican candidate who has not been running, again, if they go with a Ryan or a Romney or someone like that, is not going to be popular. Trump's received, more than 8 million votes already in the primaries. None of those people, 0% of those people, are going to vote for the Republican candidate. The Republican candidate has no chance
at that point.
I think Trump can win a three-way race.
Yeah, if he gets sandbagged, I agree with you on that.
Well, Paul came out just the other night and said he would not run. You got to be somebody that's in the primary.
Yeah, but he said he wasn't interested in Speaker of the House either. You know, I mean, you know how you can tell how Paul Ryan is lying? His lips are moving.
He also said that he didn't want to be a vice presidential candidate 4 years ago.
Exactly. Famous last words.
Oh, another liar.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Al is up next. Al, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I was listening to Dracula Cruz earlier talking about how he's going to reunite the party. But, you know, he's not reuniting anything. He's actually he's a desperate option for the establishment. And that's what's going on. They don't want Trump, so they're like, hey, man, let's just go with this clown right here and see what happens.
Yeah, I think that you're making a pretty good point. What he is calling reuniting behind him is actually uniting against Trump. And for now, and to reiterate what Steve is saying, for now, they're good with that. When they dispose of Trump, that they will attempt to dispose of Cruz as well. Now, I think Cruz knows this, and I think that he thinks he can out-slicker him.
All right. Most people who are the smartest in the room know it, and they want everybody else to know it, too, you see. And but usually the smartest person is the one who doesn't do the best in life. I know it's been that case in my experiences. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think he's benefiting not so much from people rallying behind him as rallying against Trump. And once they get rid of Trump, that rally is going to fall apart. All right, thank you, Al.
Pretty much backstabbing the Republican voters.
That's exactly what's going on in a lot of different ways. Taking a lot of arrows in the back. All right, we got to take a break, too. When we come back, we have another call. We got our contest we're going to mention, too, and we got some life of business we got to get to, too. Did you see Bono yesterday up on Capitol Hill?
I did, yeah. I've seen him in concert many times, and I even met him once.
Is that right?
Yes,
Do you think he'll become a spokesman for illegal immigrants for America?
Kind of unlikely, if I had to guess.
Did you see his responses? I had to laugh so hard. I mean, it was pathetic they'd even give him a second.
He's a delusional rock star.
I know.
He has made some good music.
He wants a kinder, gentler,
right?
Funny man.
He wants to send comedians over there.
That's wonderful. Yeah. How's that working out?
We could send all our administration over.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
You're not wearing your fly sunglasses.
Sing it, Daddy.
Sunday, buddy, Sunday. Welcome back to the show, folks. Yeah, Bono was up. What is his whole name, anyway? Do you know?
Yes, Paul Hewson is his real name. Paul Hewson.
Bono is not part of his name?
It's not like Bono.
Not, yeah, no. And believe it, The Edge was not born as The Edge, either.
That I can figure out.
Yeah, Paul Hewson.
I will say this. One of the best concerts I ever attended was a U2 concert at the High Life Fronton in Fern Park.
That's going to be a few years ago. They're not playing there anymore.
Yeah, no. I don't think they're there.
And I tell you, you were like real up close and personal with the band. Yep. And the place, of course, was packed. And they did a lot of backlighting, but it was a fantastic concert. I'll tell you that. I wish he would stick to rock music and stay away from Capitol Hill, because the stuff he was preaching yesterday, testifying to on Capitol Hill, was basically liberal nonsense.
Well, Bono is a great musician. I mean, I've seen U2 a lot, many times in concert in Boston and in London. I met Bono and Edge once, actually, in London after a show. I've been to Dublin. I've been to by his house and recording studios and stuff. But Bono, good old Bono, has a bit of a messianic complex as well, as many rock stars do. Think of all the, you know, idiotic rock stars out there that think they're world diplomats, whether it's him, whether it's Michael Stipe, whether it's Sting.
Or Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen canceling the concert in North Carolina.
Yeah, and Brian
Adams.
They
all think they're diplomats.
Right.
It's like, you play good music, leave it at that.
I know. I mean, move on, because his comments in Congress were so embarrassing.
Well, it's just delusional. Again, he's a great musician. I love their 80s and 90s stuff in particular. But
same advice for Hollywood.
Well, see, I think his mistake was he was trying to equate what's going on with these refugees to the AIDS crisis. In other words, saying the United States made a big difference with the AIDS crisis. If only they would do the same thing with these refugees. You want to talk about comparing apples to something that ain't apples?
Apples to kiwis.
You got that right. Yeah. All right, James has been holding. Let's go to James. You are up next. Thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, Chris. You were nice enough to have a bottle of Roxy Pacific sent to me.
Well, actually, the Roxy's, took care of that, yep.
And I read on the label that you could use it in your eyes, and I have dry eyes, so I said, why not? And it works better than... I won't use the brand name, but the tetrahydrosaline.
Is that right?
This could be a Shark Tank product.
I tell you what, we're always hearing, and I get testimonials from the Roxy's all the time about new uses for this stuff. You can use it for that. People who have contact lenses and get dry eye problems, you can use it to help clean your ears out. This stuff is just fantastic stuff. Well, I'm glad it worked for you, and thanks. And
wait. The next thing is I heard on NPR, of all places, since they've enacted the gun carry or concealed carry licenses in Detroit, that the crime rate has gone down. Of course, they didn't talk about that aspect of it. They talked about how tragic it was that people were shooting people, but they still had to wind up admitting that the crime rate went down after concealed carry was enacted.
It only makes sense because the same thing happened here in Florida and other states where they've done the same thing.
The bad guys always carry the guns. So now we got some good guys carrying guns. So it will definitely go down if that's enacted.
Yeah, exactly.
One last thing, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been sort of vacillating between Cruz and Trump lately. I started out as a Cruz hopeful, but looking at what happens after the election, currently we're seeing that Cruz is getting his support from people who are basically anti-Trump. And the people he had counted on, which was the evangelicals, really haven't supported him.
That's right.
And I don't know if you were around to remember Reagan, but one of the things that Reagan could do was get on TV and call for people to write their congressman or let Congress know that they supported him, and they would do that. I think that Trump would have a greater impact that way than Cruz would. And the media is going to be blistering to either Trump or Cruz, but I think that Trump, with all of his insecurities and blow-ups and everything and temper tantrums and whatever, would still be able to withstand the media better than Cruz.
Well, I think
I'm still vacillating, but I'm tending towards Trump now.
Well, see, what you're pointing out, though, is that you're looking beyond the election. We had a caller last night, Layton, who had the same observation about Trump and Cruz, that they both have qualities that would help them if they work together to govern, to bring about the changes, because they're basically on the same page when it comes to the issues. It's just a matter of getting together and setting their egos aside for a few minutes in order to accomplish the goal. But I think you make some good points there. And so just keep listening and let us know how it works out for you. But but to me, you know, either guy is going to be better than Hillary. This is why I can't understand people like Adam and others. I'm more of the Dennis Prager set and Michael Gallagher. And that is, you know what you're going to get with Hillary Clinton.
And
you know, it ain't going to be good at all. With Trump, at least we have a shot, right? At least we have a shot. You ain't going to get that with Hillary Clinton. If you haven't figured that out by now, you need to go back to sleep and sort it all out, I guess.
Well, Trump's the only one, too, if you look at all the polls, that's bringing over Democrats, independents, libertarians, and even Bernie supporters into the Republican Party. The Republican Party keeps talking about how they want to be the big tent party, bring in more people. Trump is the only one, and the polls bear this out, that is doing that, that is bringing people in to vote for him who are formerly Democrats or independents or libertarians or whatever. No other candidate is doing that. So they're just beating themselves in the head with a hammer by resisting him as much as they are.
They're cutting off their nose.
It's a suicide mission.
They're cutting off their nose to spite their face.
Exactly.
All right, you can do that if you want, but don't blame me if it hurts. Mike. Speaking of vice presidential, you know, candidates, my dream team would be Trump-Cruz.
Okay.
So you have come up with a contest
for us.
Yeah,
what we're doing is we're tomorrow, and we'll have some excellent prizes. We're going
to
have everybody
Jerry's Mercedes
take
Benz.
The people, take like a Trump or take like a Cruz or a Bernie or a Hillary, and help us choose their vice president. Now, you got to say why, and I'm going to give you an example. Right off the bat, I'm going to go with Bernie, and for his vice president, I would suggest El Chapo. El Chapo is Mexican's greatest drug lord, and I think that Bernie could probably pardon him, and then he could have El Chapo supply all his voters with free drugs to keep them stoned during the whole election period. So I think he'd be a perfect vice presidential candidate. Now for Hillary. I had to give this minimal thought. I was thinking of Eric Holder. Now, let's think about Eric. It's a perfect match. He was corrupt, he's a racist, and, of course, he's a consummate liar. This is a marriage made in heaven.
And she's
going to
need a good lawyer if she gets indicted.
I know.
Somebody who's got a few favors he can call in.
It's the total package. So this is what we are looking for our audience tomorrow. So think of your vice presidential candidate and have an explanation.
And it doesn't have to be the Democrats. It could be Republicans.
Yeah, it could be Republicans, right?
You could pick your ideal Republican candidate and VP and your ideal Democrat candidate.
Let your mind go to its fullest.
That's right.
So we'll be looking forward to hearing tomorrow.
That's right. right. We'll be playing for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano's. Compliments of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. Jerry and Janice Shepherd, they will take better care of you and your Mercedes than anybody else in town. They are indeed the dealership alternative. And I want to thank you folks who've been going there and telling Jerry that you heard about it on the show. We really appreciate that, too. And you'll also win a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. Compliments of My Liberty Threads. Scott Miller, great t-shirts, made in America, American slogans on them. Make you proud to wear them. And we'll also throw in a bumper sticker or two. We still got a handful
of... nice package. I've been giving it a little bit of thought. Not a lot.
Bumper stickers. All right. All right. When we come back, Steve and Wes will still be here. Mike's off to the meeting.
I got to go to the meeting quickly.
But we'll be here. You can join us as well at 407-774-8255. And don't forget, join me and join LIFA. And you can do it real easily. Simply go to golifa.com. That's golifa.com, golifa.com. Or you can text 53445 to LIFA. No, I'm sorry. I got that backwards. Text LIFA.
This is former professional wrestler Roxy Astor. I love to wrestle, especially when it comes to politics. For the best in political professional wrestling, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer, WORL. I'd go to the mat with these guys any day.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you so much for being with us. That's right, I am Christopher Hart. The chairman of the board has left for the meeting, but still in the studio with me now is Wes Rose, board member of Legal Immigrants for America, and the director, executive director himself, Steve Gushoff. Before we get back to the conversation, we want to talk a little bit more about Bono. You have written an excellent book. Tell us a little bit about it real quick.
Thank you very much. Yeah, hot off the presses, I wrote a new book called The Bible and Immigration, The Bible and Immigration. And people can order copies of it at golifa.com, at golifa.com. They can order copies. Chris, I gave you an extra copy. We can give one away tonight or tomorrow night, whenever you'd like to as well.
Yeah.
And basically, the premise of the book is...
How about if we put this as part of our prize package?
Perfect. You can do whatever you want to do with it. That's, that would be great if you want to do that for tomorrow. And The Bible and Immigration, available at golifa.com. It's a study of what the Bible tells us about the issue of immigration. For instance, in the book, we give examples of migration in the Bible. We talk about the responsibility of the immigrant, the responsibility of the government, and the responsibility of the Christian. Because unfortunately, so many people, particularly in churches, so many pastors, so many ministry leaders, get it wrong today. They get it wrong. They think, you know, similar to Bono on Capitol Hill. It's like, oh, you know, you have to love your neighbor, turn the other cheek, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in the New Testament, when Jesus was saying things like that, you know, in the Beatitudes and elsewhere, he was talking about one's individual responsibility as a Christian. He was not talking about government policy. So many people don't understand that. There's so much misinformation and disinformation and outright lying and false narratives about what the Bible says about immigration. So that's why I wrote this book, The Bible and Immigration, and people can get it at golifa.com. Because, like I say, it's like, I'm a Christian, Chris. You know, we're all Christians in this room right now. If I see someone out on the street tonight, and he needs food, he needs water, he needs clothing, shelter, a blanket, whatever for him, his family, I will help that person as a Christian in my individual capacity, because that's what Jesus tells me to do, to help the least of the brethren. That doesn't mean that a government has to have a similar policy. If you read Romans 13, where the Apostle Paul is talking about the rule of law and how the government brandishes the sword and that we all need to be obedient to the government, the role of the government clearly in the Bible is one of justice more than mercy. A government exists to protect its citizenry more than anyone else. Borders are very important in the Bible. In the Old Testament, God himself ordained borders for the Promised Land. If borders are good enough for the Promised Land, they're good enough for the U.S. and Mexico as well.
I do think so.
And also in the Bible is, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Right. You also point out in here how immigrants have responsibilities.
Absolutely. Immigrants have
according
lots of responsibilities.
This is according to the Bible now.
Well, exactly, because if you look again at Romans 13, for instance, you know, that's where the Apostle Paul is talking about the role of the government, but also the role of the citizen. And right in Romans 13:1, Paul writes, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Okay, Paul doesn't write, let every soul, except those that come across illegally, except those that call themselves undocumented workers, except those that have amnesty. No, everyone be subject to governing authorities. The moment you cross a border illegally, you've committed a crime. Okay? You've shown that you are not subjecting yourself to governing authorities if you come illegally. And beyond that, any church, any pastor, any ministry that is helping illegal aliens, that is helping them in their illegality and criminality, is committing a crime and committing sin as well. And a lot of Christian leaders don't get this. I had a conversation with a pastor recently, a very liberal pastor. And he's like, oh, that's terrible what you're writing in that book. You know, the Bible, Jesus is all about love and mercy and compassion and turn the other cheek. I said, Pastor, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you have like an Alcoholics Anonymous sort of, you know, program at your church? Oh, yes, we have the best one in Orlando. It's great. And we're saving tons and tons of former alcoholics. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, in your AA meetings, do you give each of the men and women at the AA meetings, do you give them like a free six-pack of Budweiser and a free bottle of booze when they come in? And he looks at me like, of course not. You know, we're trying to save them from alcohol. I said, huh. I said, all right, hold that thought. I said, do you have any sort of a drug program at your clinic? Oh, yes, we've helped many former drug users get off the streets and clean up their lives. I said, the people that come into your drug program, do you give them, you know, free heroin and free meth and free crack? Of course not. What are you talking about? I said, well, you wouldn't give alcohol to an alcoholic. You wouldn't give drugs to a drug abuser because you wouldn't want to enable them. Why in the world, then, would you want to enable illegal aliens by giving them free stuff so they commit more and more illegality? It's the same exact thing. It's false compassion is what it is, and you're not helping them. You're hurting them because you're patting on them on the head when they've committed an illegality against this nation.
Yeah, it's indeed. It's not compassion at all.
It's not.
It's the
compassionate thing is to send them back to their nation.
Exactly. And the compassionate, to be compassionate, you have to be compassionate to all. You can't be compassionate to just some. And to be compassionate to the illegal immigrants is not to be compassionate to the people who are going to have to pay for and who suffer from the either haven't gone about it the legal way or suffer more directly from crimes and other ills brought on by illegal immigration.
Where's the compassion for the American taxpayers that have to foot this bill? Where's the compassion for the families of Kate Steinle and so many others that have been slaughtered by illegal immigrants? Where's the compassion for the young girl that was just killed by an illegal immigrant in Nebraska? He hit her with his car, and then he fled after bail. Look at, you know, because everyone says, oh, you know, Jeb Bush, oh, it's an act of love. They're just trying to help their family. Well, you know what? The Bible also says in 1 Timothy, it says godliness with contentment is great gain. And it also says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Okay? So how many people are coming across the border illegally just for materialistic reasons? That's not biblical. That's not biblical. God may want them to be staying in their nation to stay where they are, even in difficult circumstances. People forget that the Bible, God does not exist just to make us happy and wealthy, okay? He may want people to stay in their nation in difficult circumstances. No one's saying it's easy, but because that's where he wants them to be. And so when you're crossing the border illegally, you're committing a crime, you're committing sin as well. Let me give you another example. I lived in South America for 7 years, okay? I was a legal immigrant in South America, in Peru.
Peru.
For 7 years. Here's the deal. So I was a legal immigrant. That means that once a year, I had to go to the immigration office to get my residential visa. It was like a national ID card, basically. Okay, you think government bureaucracy is bad in the United States?
Yeah.
Go to a third world nation.
Sure.
I would stand in line for 8 hours a day just to get an application, just to receive a piece of paper, not to fill it out, just to receive a piece of paper. I'd go home, I'd fill it out. I'd stand in line another day for 8 hours just to give it back to them. I'd stand in line at the bank another day, 8 hours to pay the different fees. I'd stand in line another 8 hours to get my photo taken. Another day, another 8 hours to do my fingerprints because they went through Interpol. They went through the FBI. I actually give them credit. I mean, they did Interpol and FBI. It's like third world, and they're better than what we're doing and stuff. Then I'd go back another 8 days to finally get my card. It would take a week or two every year just to get the little ID card. But you know what? I played by the rules. I didn't care if they were third world or first world or second world. It's like these were the rules of that nation, and I respected them and I obeyed them. It didn't matter if I was an American or anyone else. These were their laws. And if I overstayed that residential visa by 1 hour, they had the right to boot me out of the country. So I went back every year, stood in line, you know, forever, basically, because that was the rule of law. It wasn't fun. It wasn't easy. It was time consuming. But that's just the way it was.
Yeah,
you got to do it.
I know some people who went down to Mexico, and they had a visa, and they stayed a day late that day.
The day that they were late, the federales showed up at
federales,
the door and said, "Do you understand it?"
Yeah.
And they had to get out.
Yeah. Vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios.
Yep.
Pack your bags and go.
That's it. And you know what? The Mexicans have the right to do that. They
and
have
so
every right.
Do
and
we.
So do we.
That's the whole point here.
And when you talk about compassion, to give these illegals compassion because they're here and they're suffering, what about compassion to the legal ones? The ones that have spent 7-8 years going through the process to be legal here. They come here for the best. They keep the money here. They pay the taxes here.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that need the break. You want to give somebody a break? Give them a break on their taxes because they did it right.
And, of course, it's this notion of compassion that motivates somebody like Bono to go and testify in front of Congress yesterday. I mean, that was the underlying theme of his presentation.
Look, let me talk about Bono, because again, you know, I like U2. I like their old 80s and 90s stuff a lot better than the more recent stuff, to be perfectly honest with you. They're great in concert and whatnot, but listen, Bono should know better. He should know better, because he and U2, they were in Paris in November. Remember, they were supposed to be performing concerts in Paris that same weekend when the Muslim terrorists attacked and killed 130 people. And if you remember, they canceled the concerts. They visited the memorial sites and whatnot.
They ended
and
then up they having did, the band that was attacked that night play on stage.
Exactly.
With them.
And, you know, because they rescheduled for a month later. So he visited in person the site in Paris where Muslim terrorists slaughtered 130 people. How can you visit that place and see what those Muslim terrorists did? And remember, and this goes to what he was saying yesterday, where he was so full of compassion for the Syrian refugees. We know for a fact, that at least three of the terrorists that killed 130 people were terrorists, Muslim terrorists, who snuck into Europe along with the Syrian refugees. They snuck in through Greece, made their way up to Paris, and killed 130 people. Three of those were hidden among the Syrian refugees. That's why we can't have the Syrian refugee program. Look at it, I've said it 1,000 times before. As a Christian, I feel terrible for the Christians, you know, that are being persecuted and killed in the Middle East. But unfortunately, if we try to get soft about this in this nation, which we are, the terrorists are taking advantage of that. They're taking advantage of it. They're in the country already. They're in the country already. We're going to have a Paris. We're going to have a Brussels in this nation, you know, again, because our leaders are stupid and soft, and they're letting them in under the guise of compassion. And people like Bono, great music, but he's got to understand that. Compassion kills. That's what I wrote back in November, and we're going to see it again because people don't learn the lesson.
Trump is the only one that has seen that fact, without a doubt.
And that's exactly right about that. Now, Ben Carson has been saying over and over again, now he went over there, you know, when he was still in the campaign, and he visited the refugee camps over there. And he said what he found out is they don't really want to leave there.
Correct.
They want to stay in their homeland, and they want their homeland back.
Exactly.
In essence.
Well, let them fight for it then.
Well, and what he's saying is that's what they want. They want provisions, you know, housing basically for the family, and they want the ability to be able to fight for themselves.
Look, the USA is the most compassionate country in the world. Anytime there's a natural disaster, anytime there's a civil war, anytime there's anything disastrous or catastrophic anywhere in this world, we help out. And I think God has blessed this nation in many ways in the past because of our generosity. But now we're engaged in a suicidal mission where we are allowing terrorists who are hiding and pretending to be refugees into this nation. It's absurd. More Americans are going to be killed. How many times do we have to learn this lesson? Whether it's Paris, whether it's Brussels, whether it's San Bernardino, whether it's Texas, whether it's Tennessee, wherever we're talking about, it's going to keep happening. That's why this election is so important, because you finally need someone to get into the White House that has a backbone and that will actually enforce the good immigration laws that are on the books. We have great immigration laws on the books right now. It's just that Obama refuses to support them or enforce them.
Well, not just him. How long has it been on the books that we are supposed to be building a wall?
Correct. Correct.
I mean, this has been through two or more administrations now.
They've put in about three bricks, I think, is what they've done.
I know I was watching, I don't know if it was 60 Minutes, it might have been, but I was watching some news documentary show talking about how parts of this quote-unquote wall that we have built, they used old World War II and Korean War surplus airstripped runners, I guess you would call these things. Basically, what they would bring in, and they would level out a piece of ground, and they would throw down these pieces, these metal pieces of runner that they would make a runway out of. And basically, they have grooves in them, like corrugated metal. Okay? Now, you would think that if they're going to use that type of material, that they would stand it on the end so that the corrugation would go up and down.
Not horizontal, so they can climb on it.
They put it horizontal, so it's like a ladder.
Duh.
I mean, what a bunch of idiocy. And then they tie that in with chain link fence, right? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Why don't they just use balsa wood at this point? Just make it easier for them. Just use balsa wood.
Why even do it? I mean, if you're going to make it so people can climb it, why have it?
Chris, I've been to Israel 2 times. Walls work in Israel. You know, go to China. China's got a 2,500-year-old wall. Ain't nobody break it into China these days. Walls work.
They work, and they can be built.
You know, I just wonder how many of you listeners that are out there are sick and tired of hearing how this administration has destroyed our integrity, our common sense, and they just laugh at us behind our back. Aren't you angry?
I think most are, absolutely. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Don't forget The Bible and Immigration by Stephen Gushoff. You can get it at golifa.com. How much is it?
It's available for a donation online.
Okay, donation online at golifa.com, The Bible and Immigration. We'll be right back. A little Steppenwolf. I forgot we even had that in the rotation back there. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You're listening to the American Adversaries as we come to you tonight. And we have the great folks from Legal Immigrants for America. Once again, please join us at Legal Immigrants for America. You can do that by going to golifa.com. This is a nonprofit organization and relies on donations. Golifa.com. Or simply text LIFA to 53445. That's L-I-F-A to 53445. And check out this great book, The Bible and Immigration. You need a copy of this because when these people with compassion in their heart and stars in their eyes come, you know, saying, we got to take these poor folk in, you can enlighten them as to what the Bible says about this.
Well, buy lots of copies because there's a lot of pastors and a lot of assistant pastors and church leaders that need to read this. Last night we were in Sebring speaking to the Highlands Tea Party, a wonderful group, probably about 50 people or so in attendance. We sold a lot of copies of the books and talked to a lot of people afterwards. And so many people came up to us after the event to buy the book and have it autographed and whatnot. And they said, Steve, they said, I had no idea the Bible said what it does about immigration and about the rule of law. My pastor never says that. How come my pastor never says that? How come my Sunday school teacher never tells me that? They tell us just the opposite. But I see in the book you have all the Bible references. Why aren't they telling the truth about what's in the Bible? I said, that's why you need to buy a copy of the book for yourself and another copy for your pastor and another copy for your Sunday school teacher. They need to know the truth.
Yeah, well, see, that's kind of scary to me because
it is.
I've been thinking that our churches have, and I hate to say it this way, but been infiltrated by liberals.
Well, you know what it is, too? It goes to what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. You cannot worship God and mammon, can't you? You can't worship both of them. And unfortunately, too many churches, too many denominations out there are worshiping mammon instead of God. I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, the Roman Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, and many other denominations, they each get $1,500 a head for every illegal immigrant that they help out.
Right.
These denominations are making tens of millions of dollars every single year off of illegal immigration. It's a big business for them. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't care what God's word says. They care about the size of their bank account.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And they're going to have to stand before God and answer.
I was going to say, that's some particular nasty kind of sinning right there.
Exactly.
And you have to go online, please, and look up the website. You'll find more information about what's going on in this country on golifa.com.
And, of course, that's where you can get the book, The Bible and Immigration, for a small donation. And once again, like Steve said, you know, get many of these books. Get plenty of them. And get them out there. That's right. You were in Sebring last night. How were you received?
Very, very well. We spoke to the Highlands Tea Party. Again, a very active tea party. They meet every single week throughout the year at a local restaurant in Sebring. And so I gave a brief, about a 10-minute presentation about legal immigrants for America and our public policy. positions. Then we showed about a five-minute video featuring Wes and featuring several legal immigrants from this area. It featured Jonathan Matuzitz, the professor. It featured Pola, many others. And then Pola spoke for about 15 minutes or so about her story as a legal immigrant from Nicaragua. Yep. It's amazing. When we speak to these groups, many, many times, Pola is the very first legal immigrant many people have ever met. Sometimes people look at her like she's from Mars or something like that, where you have this, you know, very educated, very well-spoken Latina woman who's speaking about her story as a legal immigrant, how she worked for Pan Am as a flight attendant, how she worked for different TV studios out in California. She knew Gene Autry and Johnny Carson and Warren Beatty and all of them. And here she is opposing illegal immigration. And one of the things that Pola always says, and that I say as well, is that we know that legal immigrants are the ones most opposed to illegal immigration. But so many people, educated activist people in the Tea Parties, you know, a lot of people don't realize that until we bring them that message, because, you know, they might hear Trump say something. They might see someone, you know, jump on the border in Mexico or something like that. But when we start to give them the statistics about how bad it is, about how there's really 30 million illegal immigrants
and
in this
how much
nation,
it's costing
not
us.
10 million, the billions of dollars that it's costing us to educate
and,
illegal immigrants and to imprison them. The lives that are taken by illegal immigrants, they are stunned. And people come up to us in waves, in droves after every speaking engagement saying, Steve, Pola, I never knew any of this. How come no one else is talking about this? I said, that's why we exist. That's why we exist to give you this information, to write the Bible in immigration, because the truth has to be told out there. And unfortunately, too many politicians in both the Democrat and Republican parties, with rare exceptions, are not doing it.
Right. Steve, how many sanctuary cities are there, let alone in Florida?
Oh, you know, just in Florida itself, there are over a dozen different sanctuary cities and counties. I mean, and that's just Florida itself.
You got one right here in Central Florida,
exactly.
As a matter of fact. I just lost track of the question I was going to ask you. GoLifa.com is where you can sign up and help out. That's GoLifa.com, GoLifa.com. Or simply text LIFA to 53445. That's 53445. Oh, now I meant to ask you. If there's somebody out there with a group, they can get a hold of you to speak for them, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Just, again, go to the website. Go to golifa.com, G-O-L-I-F-A.com, and just, you know, hit the Contact Us button, and you'll send us an email. And we do, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because we do get lots of speaking engagement invitations just from the website. We're already putting together a summer schedule. I mean, we're going to be probably out in Illinois. We've received invitations to speak out in the Chicago area this summer. We're probably going to be back in Las Vegas in July for Freedom Fest. We're probably going to be back up in Washington for the Values Voters Summit. We've received other invitations to speak at a large conference in Jacksonville in June, and many others. And you know, and we do other radio shows as well. We're so privileged, you know, to be a sponsor of your show here. We sponsor another show out in Las Vegas that does very well, and we're on that show every couple of weeks. And it's amazing, because every time we're on a show, whether it's a radio show again or a live speaking engagement, so many people say, I never knew any of this information about just how bad it is.
All right. That's golifa.com, G-O-L-I-F-A.com. All right, we're just about out of time for tonight, so real quick, from Nicholas Cicero, let's find out the final tally of our poll question tonight. Do you think it's a good idea for Orlando to ease up on the police, or actually give the police discretion in terms of how they treat people they find with small amounts of marijuana? I think I just put more words in your question than it has in it originally, Nick. But
yeah,
what do we got?
I think you did, too. I don't know where you're at there. But we swung back around. We swung back around the other way during the show, actually. Mm-hmm. And we're at 65% saying yes. They believe it's a good idea. So total turnaround from towards the beginning of the show.
Wow, it's a good thing McBath's not here. He'd be jumping out the window right now.
There's apparently a lot of people listening to the show with the munchies right now.
I guess so. The 420 thing, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Well, we appreciate all you folks who participated in the poll. And once again, there'll be a new poll question tomorrow night. You got your show coming up too, right, Nick? Nick, still there?
Yes, sir. WDW News Tonight starts in a couple hours, 9 to 11 p.m. over at 1520 WBZW, and that you can listen and watch us over at WDWNT.com.
Okay. All right. That's tonight, 9 o'clock. And don't forget, Saturday night, please join me at the dinner where we're going to honor the hero. It's called a Night of Heroes for the Wounded Officers Initiative. These are our law enforcement officers out there who are putting their lives on the line every day that they go to work. And when they get killed, unfortunately, when that happens, fortunately, their families are taken care of. When they're wounded or injured, that is not the case. So, Wounded Officers Initiative, A Night with Heroes, Saturday. Go to woundedofficersinitiative.org to get your tickets. They're $45 a plate. All the proceeds go to Wounded Officers Initiative. I hope to see you there. I'll be the MC. That's going to do it for tonight. Wes, Steve.
Thanks, Chris. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Night, everybody.
Prone.
To 53445. LIFA to 53445 or go to golifa.com.